Let's face it, football is a game of risks. Whether it's calling a trick play on your own five or bringing kale chips to a watch party. And while taking crazy chances like this occasionally may pay off, taking big unnecessary risks can mean real trouble, especially when you're gambling. So always know the odds and what you're getting into. Want more tips on how to keep gambling fun? Go to keepitfunohio.com, where you'll find interesting quizzes, fun games, and lots of effective ways to keep your gambling in check.
Last word on sport.
With Energia, supporting Irish rugby at every level. Energia, think of the possibilities.
Right, what a good start we had to the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. And already the three Connacht teams in there are in a bit of bother. Paul Early, I'm going to start with you, please. And before we talk about the Connacht teams, what did you make of Dublin, who many people were starting to write off on the basis of their defeat to Meath, going down to possible All-Ireland favourites Galway and winning down in Salthill on Saturday?
Oh, very impressive match from Dublin, and not surprising in some respects. The core of the great team, there are some members still there, and you expected a big response, obviously, from Conor Callaghan and the likes of Conor Callaghan and captain, I think, and Kieran Kilkenny, players like that, Stephen Cluxton. They would have been very disappointed after the performance against Meath. So it didn't surprise me that they put in a very big performance, but it was the quality, I think, of the performance that maybe surprised a lot of people, and the fact that they had a really good balance between the senior players, the experienced players delivering in a very big way, and some of the newer kind of the newer crew coming in and making a difference also. But their attitude was just first class. You know, everything that they did from the word go, the first 5 minutes, they attacked Galway with an awful lot of pace. Dublin, you know, athleticism has been a feature of the team for the last 10 years, and that's still there. You know, their pace out of defence, I think they shot maybe goal in the first few minutes. They didn't capitalise on that with scores, but their athleticism, their running, their tactical approach to the game. And I think the other factor is, I think Sean Bugler, you know, understated, but he's so important to that team, and I think having him back, he's a fantastic footballer. Having him back as well, I think added a new dimension to it. And in reality, they could and probably should have won by more, and maybe that's a reflection of, you know, Galway, even under pressure, severe pressure, you will take some positives out of the game because they scrambled for long periods of that game, and yet we're within a point at the end, you know, losing the kick out or losing the midfield battle, which they had been so kind of dominant on in the last number of games. So a great game, and Dublin are certainly not gone away.
Indeed. Ray Silk, as a Galway man, as an All-Ireland winning captain with Galway, were you surprised by what you saw?
It was disappointing, Matt. Galway didn't seem to get to the pitch of the game for long periods. Both our goals, well, Matthew Thompson took his well, but the other one was quite fortuitous. But the better team won, there's no doubt about that whatsoever. And I just thought Cluxton was immense with his kickouts. And as Paul pointed out there, Kieran Kilkenny was just sensational all through the game. And it was a pleasure and a privilege to watch himself and Conor Callaghan and the unspoken communication between them from playing all these years, like the cutbacks and the backdoor cuts and the movement. You know, they played very, very well. And I think Desi came down with a plan, and they broke ball consistently, but their capacity to win the break was through the roof. Like, and I think Kilkenny proved that. I think all in, he won about six kickouts between fouls, and he was just immense. I thought Kilkenny he rolled back the years completely. He gave an outstanding display. So the best displays were from the Dublin team. And you know, just one thing, Matt, it was funny after the game, I saw Stephen Cluxton there, and I was waiting for my twins to come back from a swim, but Cluxton stayed on the field signing autographs and getting pictures for about 65-70 minutes, and I thought it reflected the sense of selflessness that he has always given, and also I suppose the fantastic culture that, you know, Desi has picked up from Jim Gavin. But I just thought there's not many teams and many sports and many players at the height of the game, a legend of the game, and here he is given 60 minutes in searing heat after a match that just won by a point, and like he was hounded out of it. And eventually one of the Dublin management or backroom team had to come out and say, Stephen, there's a lot of lads inside waiting for you.
Okay, are you still confident about Galway's chances, Ray, in the All-Ireland?
No, not at all. But I wasn't overly confident at any stage, to be quite honest, because we've been here before to a certain degree. But they should still, you'd imagine, get out of the group. I'd expect Dublin, Armagh, and Galway. You know, Galway are away to Derry next, Matt, and that is a huge, huge game, because will Galway to lose that? Well, then, you know, your own side of things. There needs to be much better. Paul Conroy was substituted. Darcy didn't do enough. Killian McDade, the big men, Sean Kelly, Liam Silk had an off day as well in aspects of his game, and Shane Walsh was very disappointing. He just didn't kick with what they'd hope. And I suppose the question some of us is asked, is there a better flow to the game sometimes when Shane isn't playing, because there's maybe more link up play involved? The silver lining, Finnerty was good, and Matthew Tierney,
okay.
But would I be confident for goal for the All-Ireland? Absolutely not.
No, Paul Early, how much trouble are Mayo in? Because the one game they couldn't afford to lose was the home game to Cavan, which they did.
Yeah, they're in a bit of trouble, Nat. It appeared to be a hangover from the Connacht final defeat. They put an awful lot into that, the fact that they lost last year so narrowly. And I think, you know, what to expect from Mayo at all times, but particularly when they're at home, they play with a high level of intensity. Their tackling is very good. Their energy levels are very high. And we didn't see a lot of that against Cavan.
Now, sorry, have they lost the fans, do you think? Because this is a game that wasn't available in any TV service, and yet there was only just under 7,500 people at it.
Yeah, I think there's an element of that. I think that, you know, when you look at the new rules that have come in, I don't think they suit this Mayo team in particular, and I'll give you two examples of that. The kick-out now, the fact that the kick-out has to go past the 40-metre line. Mayo have struggled in the air in the last 4 or 5 years, even, you know, before the new rules came in. They didn't have a really dominant catcher in the middle of the field. Matthew Ryan plays there, but he's more of a running player. He's not... doesn't lower the middle. Jack Carney, young player who plays kind of midfield and alternates between forwards and midfield, he can catch as well, but they don't have a dominant presence, and that's why they often bring Aidan O'Shea out to try and compete. But they lost the midfield against Galway the last day. They struggled there. The other thing is that with the three men up, obviously it gives more space to forwards, so it suits the finishers, it suits clinical forwards. And again, Mayo don't have, outside of Ryan O'Donoghue, clinical scorers, finishers. They don't really have anybody else. And if I can give you one stat from yesterday, or from the weekend, Matt, of the six teams that played in the Sam Maguire, the average score from play was 110 the average from the forwards from each of the teams was 110. In fact, Cavan's forward scored 110 from play. Mayo scored 1-3 from, their forwards scored 1-3 from play. And two of those scores came in the last few minutes of the game. So they're really struggling in those two areas in particular. And they haven't changed or modified their game, and they haven't kicked long to Aidan O'Shea and given him the option inside for the long kick, which is really surprising given that the new rule advantages a catch inside the large part of the ramp, or the, inside the 20-metre line.
Okay, apologies to Cavan if we're not focusing on Cavan, but I suppose Mayo are a team that we're used to having there at the end of a championship campaign and are now in big doubt. And Ray, I'm going to go to you. What do you think of the way that Kerry dealt with Roscommon, 3-18 to 17 points?
Look, they're very impressive, and that's without the great Paddy O'Shea as well. Paddy Clifford, apologies, Paddy O'Shea, Lord rest him. But Paddy Clifford was missing as well. I think the fact that Sean O'Shea is back at centre-forward, that's huge for him. He got 7 points. David Clifford, Paul Geaney. And, you know, in that group, you'd have to imagine that Clare will, you know, Roscommon, it's hard to call that one, actually. I was going to say, just in the Mayo one, if Mayo lose to Tyrone and Donegal, Matt, that's the end of their season, because Cavan will have 2 points and they'd have none. But Kerry are in the top two or three for me. You know, Dublin, there's a lot of new guys there, but Kerry are there, they're a bounce. They were in the final 2 years ago. They won in 2022. They have firepower up front, and around the middle, you have to be impressed. I think we're all impressed with Jermaine O'Connor, and Joe O'Connor is scoring as well there. So Kerry are in the mix there, most definitely, and you'd imagine that they should top that group and come out, and then they're in a great position because they're in the last four.
And just very briefly, Paul Early, Roscommon will hardly be too upset, will they? They wouldn't have expected to be able to pick up something in Kerry.
No, they will be upset, though, because after 45, 47 minutes, it was only a four-point game. And they had done really well. You know, many, many teams have gone down to Killarney and the game has been over after 10 or 15 minutes. And Roscommon controlled a lot of the possession. So they will be disappointed, particularly they had a fantastic goal chance early on. But they'll be more disappointed the fact that once Kerry got the goal from David Clifford and a point, they buckled a bit. And that's been a feature of their performances in the last towards the end of the league campaign and in the league final. And also against Galway, that when they get hit with a sucker punch, they tend to capitulate a little bit, and they need to fix that very, very quickly if they're okay. Going to get out of that group.
Thank you very much, Paul Early and Ray Silk. We have soccer coming up, but it's hurling we're turning to after this.
The Last Word
with Matt Cooper
on Today FM.
I thought about 4:30 yesterday. I was wondering, should I actually phone in sick today rather than having to face the next item that we're doing on the programme? Yeah, we're turning to the hurling, all right. The joke going around on the internet is that NASA has confirmed that all Cork hurling supporters have made it safely back down to Earth. After all the expectations that we've been building up and winning the National League, came crashing down to Earth yesterday. I think there weren't very many safely back to Earth yesterday after what Limerick did to Cork. So in a moment, we'll talk to the former Tipperary manager, Michael Ryan. But first, former Limerick player, Joe Quaid, congratulations on a terrific performance yesterday. Is that it now? The All-Ireland already done and dusted that we've seen Limerick are back and there's no way anyone's going to beat them?
God, Matt, I thought that it was over already. I thought yesterday was only a tournament, having Paddy Power paid out and Cork winning already, gone into the Gaelic Grounds yesterday for a tournament match.
Your lads were certainly up for it yesterday, to put it mildly.
Yeah, it was. Look, to be honest, I said yesterday morning it was a 50-50 game, Matt, and that's all I thought it was. To be honest, I was probably maybe even leaning a slight bit towards Cork, but that performance out of the Limerick guys yesterday was one for the ages. They just dominated from start to finish in every line of the field. It was just a phenomenal display. Probably the best one I've seen from them in the last 7-8 years.
Even better than the All-Ireland final in 21, which was the last day that Cork suffered an embarrassment at the hands of Limerick, was it?
I would think so, yeah, because I suppose, look, to be fair, that Cork team aren't a bad team. They have been the team, the form team at the moment, Matt, and none of us could really argue with that. No, we were trying to argue with it and say it was early in the season. But that's the one thing I did say all along. Cork seemed to be flying too early. If you're trying to time your run for the championship, they had a great league campaign, they had a really good win over Cork or over Tip. You know, I suppose the Clare match did show up a few cracks that they were so far ahead and left Clare back into it. But definitely, Limerick's yesterday, the start they got was a huge help, and it probably put a bit of doubt into the Cork players' minds.
But then you say, you know, Cork maybe going too well too early. Could it be that, well, great and all as this victory was for Limerick yesterday, it didn't actually win anything? There's still a Munster final to be played, there's still All-Ireland Championship matches to be played, and remember, Limerick won Munster last year when Clare didn't turn up for the Munster final, and it was Clare who ended up winning the All-Ireland.
Absolutely, it's a lottery. The hurling championship is an absolute lottery at the moment. So many teams, depending on the day, can do that. But look, Matt, as you know, we like beating Cork anytime. So whether it's Christmas Day or it's the middle of May, we'll take the victory.
I'll give you that one. I won't argue with you today. But Michael Ryan, as a former Tipperary manager, what did you make of this when you saw it?
Oh, if you look at Matt, we were basking in a little bit of long waited for glory ourselves, and I think the whole hurling world were brought crashing down to earth now to look at Limerick perform, kicking off at 4:00 yesterday. They were awesome. They were excellent. And, you know, I suppose, you know, Joe's referred to it there, you know, it was probably one of their best performances over the last 7-8 years. And we've seen some phenomenal performances from this group. But yesterday's was a real tour de force. And I suppose given you know, that there had been whisperings that, you know, they weren't the same Limerick team and they weren't at the kind of power that they were at, have been at, and we've all been accustomed to over the last number of years. We all felt that there was probably a chink of light there for the rest of us to do something. And Cork were the forerunners and probably still are the forerunners in the team that might disrupt Limerick.
But do you think, I mean, Cork now, having had that beating imposed upon them, now have to go and play Waterford next week to get into the top three? Well, if they beat Waterford, they're in a final against Limerick. Would they really want to be in a Munster final against Limerick now? With also, you know, looking towards the All-Ireland later in the year. I mean, but what, taking another beating maybe in the Munster final, what would that do to Cork?
Yeah, well, do you know what? I think for any of us, if any of us got an opportunity to get ourselves into a Munster final or to play in a Munster final, we'd all take it. And I don't think Cork have the luxury of, there's no such thing as measuring this. They need a win, and Waterford need a win. So, you know, we'll get a result next Sunday, no doubt. And, I suppose on all known knowledge, it would suggest that Cork will win. And find themselves in the Munster final again with Limerick.
Whereas you'd be hoping in Tipperary for a Waterford win, because that'd put you into a final with Limerick. And is that what you'd want?
Absolutely, yeah, 100%, Matt. I suppose when go back to the beginning of the year, one of our ambitions would have been to make it safely through the Munster Championship round robins and be one of the three teams to come out. But you know, the further up that food chain you finish, the better. You know, if we could find ourselves in the Munster final, we'd be thrilled in Tip, regardless that it's Limerick will be the opposition, and we all know how well they're playing. But yeah, no, everybody wants to play in the Munster final. Everybody wants to play in the All Ireland final, and let the results fall. You know, we'll play them for what they're worth, and I think every team will have that same attitude. But you know, for Cork and Waterford, this is last man standing. You know, the winner takes all. And yeah, I suppose our games are played. We're in the enviable position where, you know, we at worst we'll come third, and at best, you know, we'll come in second and have a shot at a Munster final. We'd love that in Tip.
And what did you make of your performance yesterday, given that Waterford had a whirlwind start with the goal inside 13 seconds and a few points afterwards? And then was it a question of the Waterford's, the inaccuracy of their shooting let them down, or was it that you'd be happier the way the Tipperary just hurled themselves back into the game to run up that score of 130?
Well, I think as you described it, Matt, you know, it was a whirlwind start for Waterford. Like we had no more than sat down after the Oran Levein and watched the ball being thrown in, and the next passage of play, our goalie was picking it out of the net, and the second next passage of play, he was poking it out after a score. It was an awful shock. The great news for Tip was that they did drive a lot of wides in the first half, and wides that would have made a difference to the scoreline. You know, had they gone over in terms of the Waterford confidence, you know, being even stronger, you know, it being even higher and ours being lower. But I think Waterford will rue the chances. They weren't under that huge Tip pressure at the time. Some of them were reasonably easy enough scores, or should have been reasonably easy scores to take. But after that period of possibly, you know, 7, 8, 10 minutes, Tip did start to play, and we were very happy with the way Tip played for the remainder of that half. You know, to go in at the break 3 points up, having had that terrible start, I think Waterford went in with 110 to their credit at half time, which meant they scored 9 additional points after the blitz in the opening minute, which wouldn't have been a good return considering, the start they had. But, you know, for us, we went in with a very commendable effort from at half time, but taking nothing for granted that, you know, it was all okay to open up in the second half.
Joe Quaid, who do you think Limerick would prefer to have in the final? I mean, you're going to be in the final irrespective of what happens in your game against Clare, because your points difference is such. But would you prefer to give Cork another whooping, or would you like to smack Tipperary for their impertinence of getting a draw a few earlier on in this campaign?
You're not going to draw me out in that one, Matt. I think the wordings you're using about beatings, Munster finals, take on a life of their own. As Michael knows, we beat Tip in 96 and we didn't win another Munster until 2013, 17 years later. So they're not that easily won. I know the lads have a good record in the last 6 years. But no, look, Limerick play whoever comes against them. So final level, when that game is over, you're still only halfway through the championship. So there's an awful lot of hurling to be played. I suppose Cork want to get back and see can they get a bit of revenge or sort the rights, the wrongs to the rights after yesterday. And as Michael said there, Tip and Munster final day are always a force to be reckoned with. And to be fair, they're making steady progress. I do a bit of work down around Tipperary and they weren't holding out much hope for the start of the year, but we are starting to hear the tip and Tipper back chance coming again. And do you know what, Matt? Everybody in the country wants to see more teams competing. That's what makes this game of ours the best game in the world, and the unpredictability of it, I suppose.
Well, indeed, and actually the line is breaking up on us there, Joe. Michael, just very briefly, could it be, though, you know, do you think, and I'm clutching maybe at straws a little bit here, but that Cork weren't perhaps as interested in this game yesterday as they would have been had it been a Munster final or had it been in an All-Ireland game in Croke Park? That, okay, they wouldn't have wanted to take the big beating, but this wasn't necessarily the game they were focused on winning.
Sorry, Matt. Now I'm going to have to burst your bubble for you.
That's what you're here to do.
I don't think for a second they could have thought like that, or could have afforded to have thought like that about the game. You know, whether it turned out to be a beating, but whether they'd only lost by a point or two, the 2 points are the key thing that's on offer here. And like, Cork are in a precarious enough position now. I do think they'll come through it, but it's a precarious enough position where, you know, if they're beaten next Sunday, they're out of the championship, which would have been unthinkable after the league final and their early run of form in the, you know, throughout 2025, including giving us a clipping down in the
against
the
14 men.
Albeit 14 men, but nonetheless a clipping.
All right. Very briefly, because I don't want us to be accused of not taking any notice of what happened in Leinster. What significance would you put in Kilkenny's overcoming of Dublin?
Yeah, look, I think Kilkenny under Derek Ling are being true to form in that they play every single game as we expect them to play. They play to the end, regardless of who the opposition is, regardless of what the score is. You know, the Kilkenny way is that they play every game and play it honestly. And, you know, that's what I think, you know, we're seeing here in spades with Kilkenny. And, they, you know, again, another team that are capable of putting up an incredible score, you know, and you know, as regards being hungry for goals, there, you know, there are none more hungry than Kilkenny. Or better to take them.
I said that about Cork until yesterday. Thank you very much, Michael Ryan, former Tipperary manager, and Joe Quaid, formerly of Limerick.
The last word on sport.
With Energia, supporting Irish rugby at every level. Energia, think of the possibilities.
Let's face it, football is a game of risks. Whether it's calling a trick play on your own 5 or bringing kale chips to a watch party. And while taking crazy chances like this occasionally may pay off, taking big unnecessary risks can mean real trouble, especially when you're gambling. So always know the odds and what you're getting into. Want more tips on how to keep gambling fun? Go to keepitfunohio.com, where you'll find interesting quizzes, fun games, and lots of effective ways to keep your gambling in check.